If you help to look after a family member or friend who has a disability, long-term condition or an addiction, you are a carer. Carers can get help, you know, and are entitled to rights. If this is you, give the folks at North Lanarkshire Carers Together a ring and they'll keep you right. Because carers have to know.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Carers Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking to three carers who live in North Lanarkshire about their experiences of undertaking our Recognition to Rights training, how they found the experience and if they have any highlights from it. And we're going to introduce our information campaign, which will be known as Carers Have to Know. So I'm Colin, I work at North Lanarkshire Carers Together. I'm joined today for episode 5 of the Carers Podcast by Fiona, and by Monica, and by Leslie. So just by way of introduction to our listeners, I'm just going to ask you just to introduce yourself, tell us a wee bit about your caring role, if that's okay. Leslie.
Hi everyone, I'm Leslie Leishman. I am a parent carer of 4 children, well 3 are now young adults. I am also a carer to my husband who has severe sight impairment. I also work voluntary for the National Parent Forum of Scotland as an ASN parent rep.
Thanks, Leslie, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Fiona, do you want to tell us a wee bit about yourself?
Hi everyone, I'm Fiona Graham. I'm a parent carer of 3 children. All 3 children are currently in their primary stage of education. All of them have additional support needs, ranging from moderate to complex. I also am currently the chairperson of 2 local ASN schools.
Thanks, Fiona. And Monica, last but not least.
Hello, everybody. My name's Monica. I'm a parent carer for 1 young adult and 2 children. I am also the chairperson for Autism Take 5, which is a support group.
Thanks, Monica. And thank you to all 3 of you for giving up your time to come along and record this podcast today. Today we're going to be primarily talking about 2 things. The first thing we're going to talk about is the recent training that you undertook that we coined Recognition to Rights. And then we're going to talk a wee bit about an information campaign that we at Carers Together are about to launch imminently. So firstly, just on the Recognition to Rights training, our organisation Carers Together are contracted to provide an information advice service by the local authority and to provide a campaigning service and to represent the collective views of carers within North Lanarkshire. One of the ways we do that is to provide bespoke training to carers to become enabled to be carer representatives at meetings and in strategic forums, etc. And the 3 of you undertook our most recent training, Recognition to Rights, which covered 7 sessions last year from August until December. And it focused on things like the carers and the disability movement, the health and social care system, making change happen, what your own individual passions were, some presentation skills, and then it rounded off with a presentation to selected invited guests from statutory services. Can I just ask you, because you were all part of that training, how you found the experience and if you've got any highlights from it? And we'll come to you first, Fiona.
The Recognition to Rights training probably couldn't have came at a better time for me personally. Obviously within my advocacy role as a chairperson of parent council, having dealing with the service, I was kind of feeling deflated throughout different processes and treatments of parent carers. And it kind of came along and it kind of reignited the fire, the passion. It was a case of getting round the table, hearing different stories, hearing that what we were experiencing wasn't the only thing. It was also a case of the information that was being given. I was then able to utilise that to then take back, share with other parent carers, obviously within the authority. But from a personal standpoint, I think it changed my views that I had on presumption of mainstream. I was very against that, and it should be done, it should be written off. But actually, through the conversations and everything that was discussed, we kind of, I kind of then became, well, actually, no, it should be, that is what we should be aiming for. It just doesn't work right now. So what needs to happen to make that work? It's, that should still be the end game. But just right now, a lot of parent carers aren't wanting that because it's not working. But also from a personal standpoint, one of the sessions we were looking at our skills. And probably since August, September, I have now started making more time for myself, because on that, I've seen a lot of things I used to do before I became a carer. And a lot of the things I didn't have time for, I didn't do anymore. So now I've then started making sure that at least once a week I'm doing something off that list. That's me. It's my identity. It's trying to reconnect with who I used to be and not just see myself as a carer.
It's so important for your personal identity and I suppose for your own health and well-being alongside your caring role, is to have that time and make that time for yourself and still engage with who you were before you were a carer.
Yeah, as I said, it's that crucial, the me time, because everything, a lot of probably parent carers feel as if it's just a, like, groundhog day, you just get up and it's the same. So it's just day wee things, even if it's a case of I've got, right, I must read a chapter in a book, because I love reading, but when do carers actually get the chance to sit down and read a book? So it's like, nah, I'll read a chapter, and just that 5-10 minutes to yourself, it allows you to be who you used to be. As I said, and that is important, because in order for us to be able to do what we do for our children and loved ones, we need to be in the right headspace ourselves. So it's just, that's the important thing about making sure you have got the right headspace, because you go through a lot of battles, a lot of journeys, and it's, you need that right headspace to be able to attack that head on, because you don't necessarily get the support that you're looking for all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what about yourself, Monica? How did you find the recognition of rights, and did you have any highlights?
I'm just going to second everything that Fiona said. But also, I do agree that it, for me, it came at the right time as well. Not only for me supporting those in my support group, but for my personal circumstances as well, in particular relating to SDS budget for my son. I thought it was really insightful, re-engaging about policies and procedures and legislation in particular, and realising that what you get told is not always the right thing. So again, it helped empower me to put things in place to sort out the SDS budget, which at that point was going a bit wrong, to put it quite bluntly. And I really enjoyed all the peer support from the sessions as well, and listening to everybody's story, realising you're not alone, realising that things are complicated for most carers, if not all carers. And again, like Fiona says, and realising that you do have to take time for yourself, and you do have to have time to recharge your batteries. You do have to have time to think about just you, and being on that course really, really helped me with that.
Thanks very much for sharing that, Monica. And it kind of reminded me of a time when I worked in a previous organisation. One of the best care support workers that I worked alongside and managed used to share a story that a carer told him. And she said that when she began her caring journey, it was like opening up a door into another world, mm-hmm. a world that was completely alien to her, that she didn't know, didn't understand, and she felt completely destabilised. It was a world of social work, of health professionals, of SDS, of budgets, and it was completely alien. And you talking about the importance of carers knowing that you're not alone, that there's other people going through that experience, and accessing that help and accessing that support and taking time for yourselves is just really, really crucial. And what about yourself, Leslie? How did you find the recognition to rights?
I really enjoyed being involved in it, meeting other carers, and like Fiona and Monica said, knowing that you're not alone in this journey. for all, we had different experiences and at different points in our journey. We all seem to have struggles and difficulties in the same areas, as in regards to SDS, education, adult carer support plans. Finding out the rights was really important, because I didn't realise that as a carer, I was entitled to an adult carer support plan. I thought that kind of was based on your needs and your caring role as such, and not just being a carer in general. I loved the way it was presented. Janie done an amazing job. I often struggle for the kind of taking information, so it was kind of presented in a way that I could understand, and I really enjoyed it. Thanks to North Lanarkshire Carers for giving us the opportunity to be there.
I think also one of the other experiences has to obviously be is the fact that a group of carers came together, learned their rights, and within 7 weeks was able to bring together all their shared experiences and their skills, and then deliver a presentation to VIP guests from North Lanarkshire Council, and basically come up with a plan of the dream, the reality, and then how we could achieve change. And that was from everything that we had obviously done, the rights, what we were entitled to, but also the shared experiences. And then seeing everybody coming in, the speed date was absolutely amazing. But having that, and it's a case of them actually listening, and they couldn't go anywhere, they had to listen, and nobody could turn around and say what we were saying was wrong, it was our reality. And to have everybody then go away from that and recognise there's something wrong, we need to change things, and then seeing that change all within a couple of months. It seems if, like, we finished it in December, and then it's like everything's just been rushed after that. We've obviously been involved in the carer strategy, there's obviously information sessions, there's obviously work that's going on in the background. So they have listened, and it's that, here's what happens when you just sit down, and it's that first part, and it's that first step to change. And North Lanarkshire Council and obviously Carers Together and Coalition Together obviously facilitated that we got to express what it was that was wrong, and somebody's actually listening, and you can actually see change coming.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So just talking about carer rights, we know from our day-to-day work at Carers Together that carers still struggle to access their rights, and not all carers or partners have a full understanding with all the aspects of the Carers Act. Now, almost 6 years after the law was implemented, we found that out again during the recent national inquiry into carers' experiences of adult social work and social care that was undertaken by the Care Inspectorate, and then more recently in the local consultations in the new North Lanarkshire Carer Strategy. So it seems clear to us, it's dead obvious that carers still don't know what their rights are, and they still don't know where to find information on them in a lot of cases. Coming to yourself again, Fiona, is that something that you've encountered? Could you tell us a wee bit about what your story was in terms of accessing your rights?
Well, I only probably see myself as a carer in the last year. Up until then, it was just mum, parent. I was just doing what every other parent had seen. It wasn't probably until the fact that my kids were starting to get to the higher end of the school, seeing themselves getting into high school, and that's when you start looking at their peers and seeing, well, they're able to do this and they're able to go out, and I'm going, nah, I can't do any of that. And that's where it's like, oh, right, wait a minute, I potentially do have. And that's when, obviously, I got in contact with Carers Together, and obviously they were giving me the information of my rights. And then obviously just at the right time, the recognition of the rights obviously came on. I had obviously been quite intrigued, and I had obviously went back and spoke to fellow carers at my kids' ESN school, and a lot of them were in the same boat, which is really interesting that there's a lot of hidden carers out there in the authority that, rightly or wrongly, for different reasons, they're not maybe knowledgeable enough of what the supports are out there, or that they are actually a carer. because a lot of the carers I spoke to were, oh, but that's, I'm just a mum, I'm at my kids here. It's like, because they're in education and because they're in this, no, it's like, you are a carer, you're going over and above what, like, that other children are doing. So I think there's a potential avenue that it could be down, that we could be identifying more carers. But certainly for me, it was a case of, it was not something that was on my radar. And now it's the only thing I ever use now, is my rights as a carer, as I said. So there is benefits to have from it, as I said, knowing your support, but it's just targeting it. And I wish that I had known what I know now, back at the start of my journey. It might have took a different route, as I said, but I wish I'd definitely known what I know now.
It's interesting you saying that that was the same experience of other parent carers within an ASN school provision. And we were chatting earlier before we started recording this episode. I don't recall the exact wording within the legislation, because I'm not a law anorak. I don't know it verbatim, but it's quite clear in the Carers Act that if you have a child in school with additional support needs, diagnosis or not, is, you know, that's not relevant. If your child has additional support needs, if your child needs more support than a child of a similar age, then you're classed as a carer and you should have access to rights.
It's very scary though, Colin, because a lot of families that we are seeing haven't got DLA. They didn't know that, because they don't have a diagnosis, and it's a lot of things, I think, have been pinned on diagnoses for years and years, that it puts a lot of people off. A lot of people don't even know they're entitled to do the take a break or anything. I mean, these things that are key supports to a lot of families, and a lot of parents, like, they don't know that that's going on. But I think part of the problem with a lot of parent carers in ASN schools is education, and you're only seen as a parent, and it's your rights as a parent, because obviously there is rights for parents within legislation, but then you have rights of carers, and it's never the two shall meet. And I think that's what we need to be looking to change, is it's a case of, yes, you have your rights as parents, but because of your child's additional support needs, you have these added on. And it's about, hopefully, with the information campaign, we're going to target more parent carers, and they're going to start to see, oh, that's me. So, just hoping.
Absolutely. And you mentioned earlier, when you were talking about the recognition of rights and how some of that work has already started, some of that change has already started to take place around that very thing.
Yep.
So we're hopeful. We're hopeful that there'll be positive change, and we're hearing all of the right things.
We're hearing all the right things, as I said, and that's it. It's just that one wee thing that you need, and then it's like a domino effect, and everything
effect
should all start to fall in place.
Yeah. Thank you. So coming to yourself now, Leslie, so kind of quite a common thing, you know, when you're having that carer conversation with people and talking about the impact that caring has on, you know, kind of various aspects of their life, you know, how's caring impacting on your physical health, how's it affecting your mental health and well-being, does it affect or impact on other relationships in your life, does it impact on your ability to work or go to school or college, when you're having those types of conversations, what we're hearing is that carers actually need a pressure valve release. They need some of the, I don't want to use the word burden, but some of those tasks and roles, some support with that, just to free up time, to have some time to yourself. Is that the feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. To let you understand, it was someone to do my gardening and clean my windows I was looking for. These were two things that my husband kind of dealt with before he kind of lost his sight, so it was like another two added onto my list as a parent carer, which is never ending as it is. So even just help with the two things would have really helped me at that time. But yes, I'm still going to go ahead and get the adult carers assessment carried out, and hopefully get something put in plan in future.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. So what about yourself, Monica? What's your experiences of accessing your rights or otherwise?
Right, for me, I'm a give you the example of my son who gets an SDS budget and how that helps me as a carer, but how also I've, since recognition to rights training as well, I've been able to move things forward, because we're in a wee bit of a sticky wicket at the moment. So I'll go back to when my son was in crisis. He was only 10 at the time, and school really wasn't going very well at all, and he had a decline in his mental health. And it came to a point where I had to stop working, and our family went from a two-salary family down to one-salary family. Then, actually, my son, he had to go in and get some treatment, mental health treatment, and his psychiatrist had suggested that we pursued an SDS budget to support us on his recovery and to help get him back on track. Now, I should also add in that my son was failed massively by education, and I had to then take on the role as his educator, and I had to home educate at that point as well. So we did get social work involved, and it went from something that was really quite challenging to something that worked pretty well. The social worker that we got involved was very knowledgeable, and she knew all about the legislation, and we were initially told that it was for a support worker, but given my son's complex needs, that would never have worked for him. So we were given flexibility and pretty much given the freedom to do what worked for our son, as long as it was meeting his targets and improving his health and well-being, etc., and his what could you say, his engagement within the community as well. And it, for the last 2 years, it has worked amazingly well. So he's he now actually does his own sort of podcast thing himself. He does a lot of things. He's still out of education, and that I think will continue forever. I still home educate, but in the last year or so, we were given a new worker from social work who unfortunately is not familiar with legislation or really how the SDS budget works when you're not using equipment or a support worker like we have been. So there has been a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. I've had to, or I've been able to, because of this training. So I've had to basically coach the new worker for my son on legislation, and to be quite frank, most things regarding the SDS budget for a child. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't have been on the Recognition to Rights training. It really did empower me. I was able to pinpoint the exact legislation, and I was able to fire off a few emails to set the ball rolling, to make things right. Because having that SDS budget in the last few years really has enabled us to support our son in the best way. It's given us peace of mind. My stress levels have lowered quite significantly. Going obviously from a two-salary family down to one-salary family, it gives us the financial support that we need to put the care in place. It's given us the ability to plan what sort of care, when we're going to do it, but also the flexibility to support our son who has a PDA profile. So we have to be ready to go when he's ready to go as well, and having that budget in place has enabled us to do that. I just really hope that this other budget will get back in place given the changeover of the support worker. But I do think because of all this training, then I do have the power to make it happen.
And it's interesting the difference in your experiences there when you were a family in crisis. You hadn't undertaken the training on carer rights. You were a family in crisis. You got a bit of support, a bit of intervention from someone who understood what your rights were and your son's rights. And because of that, it made a very, very difficult period in your family's lives that wee bit easier so that you were able to function. Your son was able to participate in activities and undertake things that were meeting his agreed personal outcomes and improving his health and well-being. And of course, the self-directed support legislation is quite clear that the budget should be flexible. As long as it's meeting your agreed outcomes, as long as it is improving the person's health and well-being, as long as you're not bringing the local authority into disrepute, it's no gambling or illegal, then you can use that budget flexibly. So the difference there from when someone who understood your rights to someone who didn't.
Yeah, and I think that was the frustrating thing, because the new worker was insisting that the budget was to go on equipment and a support worker only. She wasn't aware that it could be used flexibly in the way that we have been using it, which has been working to meet my son's outcomes. And if we were forced to use it just for equipment and for a support worker, then it would be completely detrimental to the well-being of my son. Completely detrimental. So in actual fact, it would be pointless in pursuing an SDS budget. Again, because of this training, I was well aware of what the legislation and what the rights were for my son and for me as a carer to pursue, which will hopefully be the best outcome.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Monica.
Yeah, and another thing about the SDS budget, although I'm having, little bits of problems just now, and as I've said, I can see the light, and I'm absolutely sure everything will be back on track. So much so that at my support group, I encourage the carers to go and access SDS for their loved ones. I'm able to signpost them in the right direction and who to talk to. And I'm actually able to talk them through the process and let them know that, no, don't take no for an answer. Know your rights. Stand up for yourself and support yourself and your loved ones.
It's you guys, the phrase that you guys coined when you were doing the recognition of rights training, it's about rights, not fights.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how did you find the first couple of segments then?
Quite good. Interesting.
Cathartic.
Bit nerve-wracking, but yeah, okay.
That is quite nervous.
Yeah.
Is that knowing what to say, and then it's like, is that right? Is that, am I saying that right? Or am I, it's like that, am I going too long?
Am I talking a load of rubbish?
You all come across really well, and sharing stories like that can be quite therapeutic, but it can also be emotional and mm-hmm. bring up a lot of emotions from interactions and fights that you've had in the past. So I think you've all done pretty well.
Yep.
Is that a thing that it's a case of, it's like therapeutic, but it's be sharing it, somebody else may like resonate with it and go, well, do you know what, if they got it and if they've achieved that, then anything's kind of possible as such.
I feel that sometimes as well, when you're sharing your own experience, like I'm a good listener to other carers when they're kind of looking for help and support. But when you're sharing and speaking about your own experience, it seems to hit more, because you realise just how much your family's been failed really by certain professionals or
Yeah, I think it brings back trauma, a lot of trauma. And I think, you know, with this experience that we're going through just now and all the training we've just had, I think it's really beneficial for carers who are just starting their journey. Carers who hopefully will have that information that we maybe didn't have at the start of our journeys. That if they listen to this, or, you know, they can hear the signpost and they know where to go for help. They can look at the legislation, they can look at policies and procedures. They can get on the right track maybe quicker than we've been able to get on it.
That's it. And there's also that, like we were saying before, with the recognition tonight's training, there has been significant input and change. And it's that thing of carers as well, it's listening, that's, it might not be what we've been, and hopefully we've been able to make a wee bit of change so that some of the stuff that we've all had to endure, they don't have to, which is what it's always about. It's about making sure that everybody who's coming into it isn't having the same experiences. We're making it better as we go through it so that the next set of carers don't have to.
And I would also say, if there's anybody listening and they're feeling alone and they're needing some peer support, contact North Lanarkshire Carers Together. Any one of us would be happy to chat with yous. But just knowing to come to North Lanarkshire Carers Together, you'll get the support. You'll get somebody to listen to you. You'll get somebody who'll signpost you, put you in the right direction, set you off with more information than what you had previously, but it's really good to talk. It's good to speak with other people that are in the same position as you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about information, as the three of you are aware, because of what we were talking about earlier, about the lack of information out there and the number of carers who don't know their rights or where to access them, we're about to embark on an information campaign. I think it was yourself, Fiona, in one of the answers earlier on, you were talking about the number of carers across the local authority, and we estimate that there's between 50 and 60,000 carers living in North Lanarkshire. Probably only one in five are known to services in the widest sense, in terms of social work and in the third sector. So that's quite a significant number of carers who identify that they're in a caring role, but they're not on any services. They're out there just getting by. So you're right, Monica, it's crucial that carers know where to come to access their rights.
I think as well there's quite a lot of fear in coming forward as well. Probably judgment, a lot of judgment. I know that for myself, from people who are not in a caring role, judge what your caring role is when actually they know nothing about it. I suppose it's about letting these people know that if they are a bit frightened, a bit worried about coming forward, there's nothing to worry about. There's only gains to be made. I certainly know for me, speaking with other people, knowing that somebody else has got your back, knowing if you're trying to access support and you're not getting anywhere, then there's somewhere that you can go for that added support, the peers, but advocacy as well. And it's just knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah, I think we've all got you hear people saying regularly that carers are everybody's business, carers are everybody's concern. You look at the amount of money that carers save the health and social care service. So, by that rationale, have we all not got a moral duty to ensure that carers know at least where to go to ask the question about what am I entitled to, what are my rights, how can I be supported, how are statutory services supposed to support me to continue?
And it's about getting that right at the very beginning, because if you give the carers it right at the very beginning, as Monica's saying, you are further forward than most of us were.
Yeah.
But it sets you up and it's your journey, because if you've got that then at the very start, you're able to tap into that, so you'll never reach crisis point. You're getting it at the very start, where it should be. So if services shouldn't be coming in at crisis point, they should be there. You should be able to access
it.
Them to prevent it, not just coming in when they would get to crisis point.
Yeah, it would be like having your own personal toolbox, and it's just a case of opening up your toolbox and bringing out the tool that you need.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So not everybody uses internet. Some people prefer it kind of written down, leaflets.
Yeah, or face-to-face.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's really important. There's so many people who are digitally excluded, either because they can't afford the equipment or can't afford to get access to the internet, or if they're maybe elderly and they don't know how to access online services and information. So having that written down, leaflets, face-to-face contact with people is just as important as the stuff that goes on online, and ironically through podcasts. We need to make sure that we're getting that information in as many mediums as possible. And on that note, we here are looking to take steps to address these issues by running a 10-week information campaign. The campaign will be known as Carers Have to Know, so called after the actor Jane McCarry coined the phrase in her inaugural podcast. The campaign will run with a different theme each week, starting Monday the 1st of April, and it will conclude on Friday the 7th of June, just before our AGM, and the start of National Carers Week, which begins on Monday the 10th of June. The theme for each week will be shared the day before, with lots of information shared on social media, by email, and by our staff team in person at events. And each week, we hope to conclude with a carer sharing their own story. We've reached out to local and central Scotland MSPs, asking them to support us by sharing details of the campaign in their newsletters and on their own social media channels. And we've also reached out to local radio stations and newspapers to help get the word out. If any listeners would like to know more about the campaign, or if you're a carer and would like to share your story, please just get in touch with the team via the usual ways, social media, email or telephone. So we like to conclude our podcasts and our episodes just by asking the same question to our guests. And I'm dead excited actually to hear your answers, because this is the first time in our podcast where we've had three carers round the table. So this is directly related to you guys and your stories. Leslie, I'm going to ask you first. If you had a magic wand and you could change one thing that would improve the lives of carers, what would you do?
It would be to be treated as an equal at any table we sat, regarding any caring needs, plans, or decisions made on behalf of the person that we're caring for. Lived experience is way more important than the kind of university kind of stuff. We know the person, we know their needs, we know what their preferences would be, and I think it's really important that we are treated as an equal at the table and get to help make these important decisions for these people.
And invariably you're coming from a position of helping to shape a person's care from a position of love and compassion, which isn't necessarily always the case if you're a professional coming in to support a family.
That's right, yeah.
What about yourself, Fiona? If you had that proverbial magic wand, what would you do to improve the lives of carers?
Engagement. Has to be engagement. I think just off the back of the carer strategy, you can see where when you engage, and it's meaningful engagement, you can see the change and the shape. And it's suited. People who are making decisions for carers and their loved ones, but have, as Leslie's saying, no experience. So why are we not utilising those with the experience to be able to shape policy and processes? That's it. But it has to be meaningful. We need to stop this whole tick box scenario. It can't just be a case of, oh, we'll bring you in and we'll have this and then that's it, we won't hear from you for another year. It needs to be consistent. We need to have that approach that we are recognising the diversity of carers. and everybody's got a seat round the table, that we are able to then make things better for everybody coming in. Engagement is massive, obviously, for in terms of my advocacy role in the parent council. For education, you need to be speaking to parent carers. They know, as Leslie's again saying, what our kids need, so why are we ignoring? But there's also that thing that we were able to prove through recognition to Rights Training was, is we come up with our own recommendations, short, long term, medium term goals. We want to work with the service and the authority to make things better. We're ready waiting.
As an equal and expert partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would agree with both Leslie and Fiona on that. What I would add into that as well, that these professionals who are engaging with us are fully trained, are fully knowledgeable of legislation, that the police stop sending out workers who are not knowledgeable, who are given false information, who are given information to carers which is setting them off on the wrong track, or setting them off to despair rather than support. Yeah, so for me, it's really important that those that are engaging with the carers know their stuff, basically, because we're looking for the support, and if we're getting signposted in the wrong directions, then it's not going to work for us as carers, and it's not going to work for our people that we're caring for.
Just before we finish up then, just one last question, if I may. What would you like to hear on a future episode of Carers Together, Fiona?
I'll go first. I would love to hear education. Education is at the very beginning of a lot of our carers' journeys. There is a lot more children with additional support needs being identified within our authority. And I would like to be having you guys put some questions about processes and how support is going to be maintained and how they're going to be able to ensure that they are getting it right for every child and the authority as they increase in numbers. But also, what is the authority's vision and for ASN, and how do they plan to work with parent carers to reach that vision?
Excellent. Leslie, what about yourself? What would you like to hear in a future episode?
I would be interested to hear about carers' experience in regards to transitioning on from school on to further education and employment. Personally, with family, found this quite a difficult time. Found it was quite a gap in services, and my son's been unable to engage, made the process much harder. So I think it's an area that kind of needs kind of spoken about, worked on.
For me, I would be looking at neurodivergence. As an autistic ADHD woman myself, I need probably a little bit more support, a bit more understanding. I would like more training in all aspects relating to neurodivergence and carers. As people are becoming more educated, more people are becoming identified as neurodivergent as well. Take away the stigma that has been there for years as well, that we can't communicate very well. We can communicate, we may do it in a different way and need different formats. So I would personally like more lived experience with people who are interacting with us carers, and again, more knowledge around neurodivergence.
Absolutely fantastic and very, very worthwhile suggestions. We'll certainly take them on board. Our next scheduled episode will be around mental health and the mental health of carers, but we will certainly take those suggestions on board, especially given that they've come direct from the mouths of carers themselves. it would be remiss of us as a carers organisation to ignore that and just do what we want. Well, that's us, folks. Can I just finish off by extending a massive thank you to Leslie, Fiona and Monica for giving up your valuable spare time. I know you don't get an awful lot of it. It's very much appreciated you coming here and sharing your stories, and hopefully those stories and experiences will go some way to informing other carers who are starting on that caring journey. And can I just finally finish off by thanking Action for Children Young Carers Project here in North Lanarkshire, who allow us the use of this recording studio for all of our episodes. Thanks, folks.